Hey everybody, it's BBQ 182, and JJ and I are just kind of sitting around here. We have really no plan after 181 episodes.
Nope, we're done. We're just gonna let Patrick run the show from here on out.
This is the Blind Bargains episode 182. I got me a show right here. What am I gonna do with it? Let's see. I've got a lizard. Look, guys, it's a lizard. I think I'll just let you guys do the show.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
Dinosaurs totally rule, especially for kids.
Who was the lady that used to come on Carson and do the animals? You know,
like Jack Hanna, but the, I know who you're talking about. Jack Hanna was the San Diego Zoo. What was her name? Oh, that's going to bother me.
Jane something.
Kind of like that. So basically we've got a bunch of strange animals in the studio. Is that?
Yeah. Well, we have one big new animal in the studio, a new version of Windows. If you haven't got it yet, the spring update, we'll talk about that and play with that. Oh yeah, by the way, the Ira, remember the Ira contest that we kind of
previewed last week? About 181?
That's true. Well, we have the details. We have deets on how to enter. So stay tuned a little bit later. This episode is brought to you by Ira, AIRA.io, and we will tell you a little bit later on how to enter the contest. So stay tuned. Big prizes.
Tons of fun. Going to be lots of fun. Also, we'll see if we can find some sound off. We actually have plenty of that.
Well, we have an interview too, don't we? That's right. That's right. Winston Chen of VoiceStream is back on VoiceStream Scanner. Yes. You might have heard of it. VoiceStream Scanner.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
Yeah, we've talked about it a few times on this
particular amazing show. It is really an amazing program. If you don't have it yet, I don't care if you've already paid for KNFB and you've paid for everything else. Sorry, you got to buy another one.
No, totally worth it. Add it to your toolbox. It's one more thing. Oh, so good, especially if you already have the VoiceStream suite. Totally
Winston explains why it took him till now to do this, and it's really interesting hearing what all kind of came together for Scanner to become a thing. Oh, and there might be some more platforms coming soon as well. So what? Yeah.
So that's a tease.
Yeah, there you go.
A tease. And also got some interesting stuff for The Last Word, as usual. So the big news, I guess,
and a sound off clip. We'll get to this later. I might have misspoke.
Plenty of sound off. I might have misspoke
last week. So we'll.
It was very funny. Yeah.
A little later.
There's all sorts of things that have been happening as adjuncts to the program. Now, probably if you are not using your computer very often, or it could be coming to you in a staged rollout, you might be downloading, even as we're speaking, tons of packets this moment for the Windows 10 spring update.
Let's see if I got it here. Which
has already been
Studio,
released.
Team Talk 5 Classic.
Oh, there we are. Uh-huh. He's there. Uh-huh. I'm actually running Narrator right now, just for the show. But that's, you know, it's gotten a lot. But, you know, running it more and more and more, because every time there's new Windows update, there's more and more improvements, and quite a few again this time in Narrator. So we've listed these on our website. What's that after? Oh, blindbargains.com. Yeah, it's up there.
Oh, that place.
Yeah. So lots of stuff in Narrator, including verbosity settings. Some of these features are going to, again, sound familiar to you, because there's some people that are working at Microsoft that used to work with other screen reader companies, and kind of things
that are using universal standards that you might have found. So all of a sudden some things look very familiar,
mm-hmm.
or feel very familiar.
So let's see. So we can do the Narrator key, which for me is caps lock plus V.
4. Some text details.
We have
5. All text details.
5 levels of verbosity.
1. Text only. 2. Some control details. 3. All control details.
That's Windows, or not Windows. That's Narrator V that does that. So, and then
remember that when that used to show up in Windowize? I think it was like Outlook where that first started to show up.
Yes.
Yep.
So that's new. The one that I'm excited for, and other screen readers have this, but the ability to move Narrator to the system tray. That's certainly one of those things. Having a screen reader eat up an alt tab spot can get really annoying. So that's right in the main settings, which again, they kind of resigned for, some of that stuff. Let's see. So this is a control Windows N.
Settings window. Use narrator. Turn on narrator. Toggle switch on.
Now, if we go tab a few times.
Link. Open. Link. View the startup options. Allow the shortcut key to start narrator. Start narrator after sign in. Start narrator before sign in. Show narrator home when narrator starts. Checkbox unchecked.
Actually, let's talk about that first. Narrator home is kind of their new intro welcome quick start wizard thing. Now, obviously, I've already turned it off because, you know, I don't like intro screens. But for new users or people that want some basic familiarity, things like that, that will pop up when you start narrator until you tell it not to. When you can,
and it goes over all the new features. So if you're unfamiliar, there are quite a few. It'll walk you through.
Yeah, it's worth, you know, don't do what I did and just hide it right away. I mean, that's actually worth reading for a little bit. You can read some of these features. If I tab one more time.
Minimize narrator home to the system tray checkbox check.
There you go. Minimize. That's the one you want to check if you want to minimize it to the tray. And that will take care of that. So that's there.
Several of us insiders have been pushing for that, not only just for narrator, but for magnifier as well. So that has been a long time coming.
So let's let you talk about some of the low vision-y type things. I don't know what matters most to you, because I see features again and I'm blind. So, you know, I see things about cursor shapes. I see things about light mode. What actually matters to you?
I'm going to be kind of cagey here because Jason might be listening to the show and I'm under NDA. So I got to be very careful with Microsoft because we've moved on to Next. But in a lot of cases, what's been going on with narrator have been the ability to do things that are looking a little bit more familiar to you if you're already a magnification user of another product. So there's a lot more in stability. There's a lot more in following narrator cursor.
Yeah, that was one big thing. I believe it's keeping the focus in the center of the screen is now a thing that you can turn on and off.
Yeah, which is really helpful because if somebody is losing their vision and, you know, we tend to forget about this, but for some people, the square monitor, you know, before we were using rectangles, but square monitors, it was really easy for some people who had, say, only central vision. Because they could just focus on a centered area. But when you went to a rectangular monitor, people tend to get lost. It's a larger yard to mow with their lawnmower. And it's a weird analogy, I know, but it's the one that I make that makes a lot of sense, is that if you have a really large backyard and you have only a push mower, so that means you only have a limited field of vision, larger monitors work against you. You have a really hard time trying to locate things within that big rectangle, whereas the square, you know, less real estate, smaller backyard, it was easier to mow it, get it all done in a day. Now, what they're doing with Microsoft Magnifier is allowing things to be kind of centered. So you don't have to always find where the pointer is, where the cursor is, and where your view locator is. So remember, every time you magnify something, you cut off the sides. You make it smaller and smaller and smaller. So you see less of a screen at one time, even though the visual field takes up the entire screen. And again, we're back to the lawnmower, where we have a great big backyard, but the smaller the mower, the less I can, you know, mow at one time. And that's what they're doing. They're allowing you to center everything. So if you have certain types of visual problems, you're able to find it really quickly. One of the things, because it's hard if you're not using, if you don't know how to, if you've never been taught, or if you don't already doing it, making your mouse pointer larger is a little harder to do. And also, if you do make it a larger mouse pointer and you're already got a small field of vision, you're now taking up what you can see by the giant pointer. So now if you center it, you can at least take one thing out of the ability for you to have to concentrate on. Some people really love that.
What about all the different pointer shapes? They've added like 12 or 13 different ones. Is that something that matters? Or
some people do because they respond to different shapes a little bit more, or they take up less on the screen. Being able to adjust your color can make a big deal. So, for instance, if you wanted to teach someone how to recognize what the difference between the cursor is and the pointer is, a good way is to put the pointer to green and the cursor to red, unless you're colorblind. Then you would really want to change it to yellow and blue. But with that said, you would want that to be one versus the other, because people don't always understand what a cursor is and what a pointer is. It was, in fact, one of the questions that I used to ask on the assistive technology tests in Texas all the time. So understanding where that is, where focus is, because focus could be somewhere different that is not your pointer, which is not your cursor, can be a big deal. So understanding those key points can really help you understand things Whereas a screen reader user, you know that because they're single focus. Yep. Wherever you're putting your focus is where you are. For magnification, it's not that way. You could have your focus in a document, but be moving around or looking around other places with your pointer. So it's important to be able to easily discern which one of those you're actually manipulating at any given time.
Let me move focus over to another window here. So we kind of alluded to this last week.
Studio, asterisk untitled. No, the Windows 10 Spring Update is, here. Check out all of the accessibility improvements. Blind bargains, Google Chrome. The Windows 10 Spring Update is here.
Ah, Google Chrome, eh?
Blind bargains. 1 of 6. News. 2 of 6. Podcasts. 3 of 6.
And I'm arrowing down?
Deals. 4 of 6. Classifieds.
I don't know why classifieds and then the thing are separate items.
5 of 6.
But I could press H.
The Windows 10 Spring Update is narrator improvements, accessibility improvements,
And going down through this article that's on our website. And yes, this is in Chrome now. So once you have the Spring Update, you can do this.
I wonder why that happened. Yes.
We were talking about
last week.
About
181?
We did a little bit. Right. So there you go. Yes. Chromium is the backbone now for the next version of Edge, which you could get as a beta now, which will be coming full-fledged soon. And because of that, well, now Chrome and Narrator work together. So it's actually, you know, an interesting option. You have a multiple web browser options that are not named Internet Explorer as options now.
Yeah, since the security chief of Microsoft said, please stop running Internet Explorer.
Especially IE 8 or whatever. Some people still had or whatever. Several other new things. You can download voices without having to download entire language packs, which is useful. There's read by sentence. That's not one I use very often, but some people might want to read by sentence as a thing. You can use the Orbit Reader 20 or your Braille Note Touch in USB mode. And I forget what's the other Braille display they mentioned. It turns out it's the Braille Me. They don't list it as that. They list it as something.
Oh, okay.
But I'm like, what is this mystery Braille display? But all those work as USB now as well. And, you know, there's lots of other, you know, Excel improvements, PowerPoint improvements, web improvements, stuff with tables and, you know, a lot of verbosity and just, you know, making Narrator
Microsoft
work.
Paint improvements?
Yeah. So Paint is interesting. And so they've added keyboard support for Paint. Now, that's awesome. So far, when I was trying the keyboard commands, I wasn't getting any other feedback. So, you know, we might still have, you know, a little more to go. But obviously, the keyboard support would be the first part of that. You know, now, how would you best give, man, if we can connect that to a graffiti. That would be amazing.
Wow.
That would be awesome. But, you know, hey,
you will be able to design horribly looking GIFs, however you want to pronounce it, like everybody else on the internet. Yes, that's true. Oh, my goodness.
You thought Paint was dead. Paint is not dead. Nope. So there you go. You can still do stuff in Paint.
Paint has one on Clippy, that's for sure.
Lots of other just little things. And, you know, we've mostly focused on the accessibility stuff. We've linked to stuff with other mainstream features. Cortana and Search are separate entities now. So if you liked one and hate the other, you can deal with that.
Or if you want to use your Alexa, you could totally use her instead of Cortana. Yep, which is kind of cool. They've talked about that last year at Microsoft Build, and that's fully integrated now.
Your downloads folder is now grouped by time, so like it'll say today,
yesterday. Weird. That threw me off.
Yeah, that definitely threw me off too. There are a lot more settings as you tab through things that are in groups now. They've added a lot of group tags and labels to things, so that can be helpful at times. And you know, again, you heard this. I have this with Microsoft Mark. If you want your more traditional voices, you can get them. AT Guys, we sell Eloquence, we sell Vocalizer. That would work with Windows 10. So if you want like more traditional, if that's one of the things keeping you from switching to Narrator or trying it out, we sell those. And you can go to atguys.com and get them. But lots of stuff in the Spring Update.
Free. Mm-hmm. Totally free. Built into Windows. It's really becoming a situation where there are so many more things that work with it than don't.
Yeah.
We've hit a tipping point where you should start to pay attention if you're an AT professional. Absolutely. Start to pay attention to Narrator and start using it a little more often.
And obviously it takes public places a while to upgrade sometimes. But as more and more libraries and other places get, you know, modern Windows, it'll be much easier just to walk up to any machine and actually have a decent experience without having to BYO screen reader. So that part is really cool as well. If you don't have the upgrade yet, if it hasn't come to your update or check for updates spot because they're kind of rolling it out, we have the link that you can go to blindbargains.com. You can get the Windows update tool. It's a free tool, and you can download it at your whim. It takes about an hour. I did it earlier today. So you can go to Blind Bargains and you can get that tool. Everything that Microsoft was really careful this time. There was kind of some issues in the fall with the last one at the very beginning with the rollout. So this time they were a little more careful in the way they rolled it out. So we should be fine. You know, I haven't seen any articles so far, knock on wood, as we're recording of anything major.
And they usually hold on, like they have hardware profiles. So if they know that there's a driver issue or something, that's why you won't get it sometimes. Even if you go grab the ISO and try to run it, it might not let you because they know that there's a hardware issue. And also they have a staged rollout because when you're talking about almost a billion devices, it takes a little bit of time.
But. So you don't have to, you can just wait for it to come to you. Or like I said, go to Blind Bargains and you can get it right as you're listening to this or, you know, wait till the show is done. If you're listening to it,
do it in the background while you're listening to the show.
There you go. That's a perfect way to. Yes. And then tweet about it 20 times as you're updating. No, don't do that, please.
Yeah. Give us a progress report. Totally want that.
Yeah. Don't tag at Blind Bargains every time you do that.
No. Just make it a thread. Just keep adding to it. Just keep updating your original tweet. That'll make life easier for all involved.
That's pretty much the news. I mean, nothing else really big in news this week. You know, we figure we just focus most of the time on that.
Friend of the show, Kimberly Klein, got a new job. It's really kind of one of those slow weeks, you know? Yeah. Kimberly went over to Low Vision International, LVI, or LVI America, I guess. So, there's a lot of people have gone into hibernation mode. This is usually when companies are.
I guess I can get rid of this now.
Microphone gain.
All right, I'm going to take him away from the.
I like that.
Bye, narrator.
Narrator, go bye bye.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
This is usually when companies go ahead and start working on how they're going to approach the summer convention. So there's a lot of sales meetings that usually happen. There's a lot of actually education sales happening now because a lot of people are looking at their budgets. They've gotten through the school year and they're trying to make the determination of how much money they can spend before all the new quota money comes in. So this is usually a big time of year for people to go out and sell stuff rather than talk about stuff or announce stuff. Although Dolphin announced a big package of education stuff, like a laptop, CCTV, screen reader, screen magnifier all at once. So, I mean, those are the kinds of things that come across our desk and we're kind of like, maybe we could talk about that. Now we remember.
I do want to mention one thing that came across, never met him, but sad to report, Justin Ryan, who is the Chief Security Officer for Cyber Times. Of course, we talked to Sean several times on this show, but Justin Ryan was the Chief Security Officer. He passed away earlier this week. And
oh, wow.
So, especially for a tiny company like that, that's obviously a huge loss. So our thoughts are with...
And for a company that's so dedicated to security, go back to our interview this time last year, where we really understood a bit more about Microsoft seeing AI and a lot more about how that data is shared and why it's important that we have options where that data remains on the device. And that kind of leads us directly into some of the information that's going to come up from your interview with Winston.
Yep, absolutely. So our thoughts are with Sean and everyone over at Cyber Times. Well, we have a lot of things coming up this show. As we mentioned, Winston's coming up in just a few minutes. But first, I think it's about time we do this, right?
I'm totally down with this.
All right, let's bring on Amy from IRA. Let's talk about something big.
The IRA Game of Words.
It's that time. We've talked about this on this episode and last week about the biggest contest we have ever done on the Blind Bargains cast. Amy Bernal from IRA is here to tell us about what you can win and the big contest. Amy, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
So why don't you tell everyone what is going on and how they can win stuff?
Absolutely. So we're kind of piggybacking on the whole Game of Thrones thing, and we're doing a game of words. Now, how you play that game, first of all, you don't have to buy anything or do anything to qualify. All you need to do is have downloaded the IRA app and created an account, all of which, of course, is free. So for those folks that have done that, you will be a contestant, a potential contestant that IRA will select at random. And then that contestant will join on the podcast. And during the podcast, they will call an IRA agent with the app. And during that call, they will be given a word to spell. Let's just pretend the word is bingo. So
okay.
The contestant, when they're connected with the agent, would be looking for the letters to spell out the word bingo. So if you are the contestant, make sure you have some printed material, magazines, newspapers, flyers, mail, maybe something pulled up on your computer. So there's lots of words for providing those letters to spell out that word. And the agent will help read the letters that they can see through the camera on your phone. And then you'll have a certain amount of time to spell that word. And if you don't spell the word in the amount of time, that's totally fine. We're still cheering for you. And you'll get a free month of IRA just for being on the show. But if you do spell the word with the agent, then we're going to give you an iPhone XR. Or maybe it's 10R. I don't really know. However 10. You want to say it.
We've had that discussion on this show. I believe 10R is the official. So the prizes, 10R. Are they're changing from week to week, right? Is that the first prize or is that going to be the prize every week?
That is the first prize. I actually awesome. Don't know what the next one will be.
Other so big stuff.
That's totally right. You could imagine lots of free things that IRA could give away as part of that prize.
So do you need to find, if the word was bingo, do you need to find words that start with each of those letters or just find those letters or how does that work?
Just find those letters, but you can't have like one piece of paper with the alphabet printed on it, for example, and say, oh, look, I see a B, an I, an N, G, and O. It has to be a different thing for each of the letters. Does that make sense?
Yes, five different or however many different pieces of paper. And yes, the word, no, we're not telling you the word ahead of time. That would be a little easy. Mm-mm. But it's, you know, it's going to be a challenge, but I think it's definitely something. If you have enough printed things around you, gather some cans of food, gather some magazines, like you said, you should have a really good chance at winning an awesome prize. So how can people enter?
So to enter, we have a site that is IRA. AIRA.io/BBQ. And that is the website where you can go and enter to be a contestant. I'll say it one more time. It's IRA, AIRA.io/BBQ.
So make sure you go to that website, fill out the form. It's free to enter as long as you have an IRA account. And that's also free as well. You can create an IRA account if you don't have one already, because of course you'll need one to play the game. Go ahead and enter. We will draw shortly before we record next week's episode for the first one. And we're doing this for a few weeks leading up to the summer convention. Amy, this is really exciting and definitely look forward to playing the game.
Awesome. Well, may you all win.
Thanks, Amy. We have more Blind Bargains Cast 182 coming up. And now an interview with Winston Chen from Voice Dream Scanner.
This is the Blind Bargains Cast.
Welcome back to the Blind Bargains Cast. We've talked a couple times over the past few weeks about a really cool new app called Voice Dream Scanner. Of course, we've talked about Voice Dream Reader and Writer for a long time. And we've had Winston Chen on the program before. We're bringing him back now to talk about Voice Dream Scanner and the, I'm going to use the word amazing because it really is the best OCR app I've used in a long, long time. Winston, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, it's nice to be back again. Thank you for inviting me.
So Voice Dream Scanner is, this is the third now, right? You have Reader and Writer and now Scanner as far as apps. How did that all come about?
I always have lots of ideas for floating around my head. And some of those ideas, I do a little bit of work, test it out to see how the concept will work. And if I'm confident that I have something here, then I would develop it further. I've also have a bunch of ideas where, you know, after spending a month or two on it, I realize this is not going to work. So I stop. So the story of Scanner, you know, as you probably expect, I've been thinking about adding some sort of OCR that's to recognize text and images, some sort of OCR capabilities in the reader for a long time. In fact, I probably ever since it went out in the App Store six years ago, it's such a clear, there is a clear need for it. But the problem is, up until about last year, the available technology for OCR fall into one of two buckets. It's either really good, but very, very expensive. So expensive either, you know, the licensing of the software of the SDK that does the underlying OCR. If it runs on device, it's really expensive. Or it runs in the cloud, but then you have to pay per, you know, for every
per scan, yeah.
Right, right. And that really adds up. You scan a lot. And of course, as a developer, you know, we have to pay the cost for processing the images in the cloud. So that business model just doesn't really work. And right around the last year, I started to see newer breed of OCR engines that run on device. And this came from a bunch of different angles, bunch of different companies, actually, and groups. We have Apple, who have put out Vision Framework, which is based on Core ML, by Apple's machine learning SDK, which is really fast. And it runs on, because it runs on the graphical process GPU on the iPhone or iPads. And then we saw Tesseract and the sort of the old, you know, long-standing free shareware or open source OCR engine, adding a whole new way to do OCR, which is, you know, entirely machine learning.
It used to not be that good in Tesseract. It was never.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's got better. And then, yeah, then Google themselves released yet another on-device machine learning framework called MLKit. So it was almost like this bonanza of on-device machine learning technology all of a sudden becoming available to developers. So I started playing with it, and to my surprise, I was just using a combination of all three of these things. I was able to get exceptional results, better than anything I've seen. In fact, I was sort of, you know, when the first results came in, I started like, my jaw just dropped. Like, oh my God, this is so good. How could this be possible?
It really is quite amazing. So, I mean, that's really interesting. You know, when we, you know, people, of course, make comparisons, and I'm not going to make you do that, but, you know where your app's at. But it does sound like part of the problems previously were that just the OCR capabilities weren't even out there. So it's not even the app's fault. It's just they didn't have what to work with, what you have to work with now, and you're able to harness some amazing technologies.
Right, right. I mean, if anybody who's heard a Google I/O, and, you know, Google's making a big push on sort of on-device AI. And we know that Apple has been pushing this for the last sort of 2-3 years. And clearly this is the right direction, because on-device AI is fast. You don't have to send stuff to the cloud and wait for it to come back. So it's a very quick turnaround time. And secondly, and just as important, is private.
Yes.
Your data, you know, sometimes you're scanning some pretty sensitive documents, you know, for credit card bills or what medical bills. And, you know, you don't want that stuff to be scattered in the cloud.
Yeah, you don't want Google or somebody else to suddenly start giving you ads based on the credit card bill that you just scanned. And I mean, they could very easily be laugh at it, but it could very easily be done, you know, looking through the merchants and things like that. So, you know, so obviously the price for these engines, these local engines, have come down too, because you're able to do an app for several dollars.
Right, right. And that's the amazing thing, that the cost has really come down too. And, you know, Tesseract is free. Obviously, Apple's engine is free. It comes with iOS. And this, you know, the combination of this sort of turn of events allowed me to finally put out a scanning app that's like inexpensive. And with, you know, I can say, I can say this because I've, you know, obviously through development of the product, I tested every single scanning, OCR scanning app there is out there. And I can say this in our testing, I wouldn't have done it if I didn't believe the scanning app is better than everything out there.
Really cool features, and some of the ones that you would expect, and some others that are really interesting as well. I noticed you've been doing a lot with the edge detection. How is that working out?
That's working out really well, surprisingly well. But one thing I would say is that it's still, you still have to have a little bit of contrast. So for example, if you have a white paper on a white tabletop, it's not going to find the edges.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But one thing I was also really surprised about is machine learning, sort of based image processing has gotten so fast that you can do it on the live video feed from the camera.
Wow.
And this is one feature in the scanner that I'm probably the most proud of. And I called it scan tone. So I got to think about this, a sighted person can look at, try to scan a page, right? You're looking at the video from the camera and you can see, make sure you got the whole page and making sure the orientation is right and making sure that you got all the text and the text is clear, right? So you're doing it by looking at the video, but for a blind user, you don't get that.
Yep.
So then the question is that, is there sort of an equivalent? Can I come up with something that would let a blind user operate this as if he or she is looking at the video feed? So this is where I came up with this idea. Because it's fast enough, I came up with this idea of a live, real-time tone. Right. So it's not, I know some of the OCR apps, you position it, it will tell you in voice, it says, left edge is not visible or.
But you have to take a picture first. Right.
Well, Right. Or it will tell you that, stick hold steady, right. Or whatever. But I want a tone that's like worse in real time. So when it's loud, that means it's good. When it's not loud, that means it's not good. When it's silent, that means there's nothing to scan. There's no text. Mm-hmm. And by working with a bunch of beta testers, I think I think this feature is working pretty well. So now if voiceover is turned on, then by default, this tone is on. And then you can scan around, look around, and there's no text, there's no sound. And then as soon as your camera is over, into the camera's field of view, something with text shows up and the text is clear, then you start hearing a tone.
The beep, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's very real time. He said it works right away. There's no way that you can easily move the camera around and know right away what's going on and where you're, even in low light too. One thing I've noticed about scanners, it really works well. You don't have to have lots of light in the room.
Yeah, and especially if you have the flashlight or the torch on the phone on. And that was the other thing I did. I know there is the auto flash, but if you're going to rely on that video feed to process that video feed in real time, you want that torch to be on the whole time when you're trying to make a scan.
I noticed an option, and I've used it once or twice, saving as a PDF, which is really cool. Is that saving the image and the text when it does that?
Yes, it does. So it's saving the image and it's adding what's called an OCR or text layer underneath the image. So now this PDF document becomes accessible, becomes searchable. You can select text on it if you open it in another PDF reader.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly why I mentioned that too. It's really interesting. The amounts of times from companies and others that I get inaccessible image PDFs, and this would get them 90% of the way there to being accessible. And it's, sometimes even more depending on how much text and other things need to happen on the page. I mean, obviously I don't think it does forms and things like that, but it gets you at least the basics of the PDF, and it's much easier to read than not having one at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have a lot of integrations. If you already have Voice Dream Reader, there's additional integrations with Reader and Scanner. How does that all work?
Yeah. Incidentally, when I discovered sort of this new breed, how well this new breed of OCR technology works, I had a bunch of options to bring that into sort of the VoiceDream ecosystem, if you will. One option is to just add it to the reader, which was certainly a great option. But then I thought, well, maybe sometimes a user would want to use the scanner standalone. There are cases where you just want to see what a piece of mail that came in, what it says, again, this is particularly useful for blind users. And it's good to have a standalone app, right? Because it shows different intent altogether. When you use to open up the reader, you know, you're trying to capture longer form stuff so that you can read it in the reader. So this idea came as like, okay, well, let's make it a separate app. Let's make a separate app, and then once that app is installed, then the scanning capabilities then become available in Reader.
Right. So the two can work either together or separately. You don't have to have both, but if you do both, they kind of work together. And I'll say it, even if you weren't going to, look, Reader came out when? 2012? So $10 app in 2012, you know, you can ride that train so long, but eventually you start running out of people that are going to pay for the $10 app. And you've done really well with that. But, you know, the scanner does give you a new way to continue staying on the App Store, and you know, you got to support yourself as well.
Well, that's true. I mean, thankfully, the Reader has been pretty steady. But you're right. Eventually, everybody who needs an app like VoiceStream Reader would have it already. And then what do I do to support my family? Yeah. So then, by having this is one thing I mean, it's a little confusing, but I really don't know how to solve it. Which is, if you have a PDF document that's a scan, that's not been OCR'd, so there's no text content, only images. Right. I think a lot of people just assume that the scanner does that, but it's actually really hard for the scanner to do. I mean, imagine if you have like a 200-page PDF document, right?
Could take forever.
What does it do with it? You know, it's because it's going to come in, you know, it's really designed to process single images. But that's where the Reader is the right place to do that. I mean, because the Reader has all the capabilities to process and analyze and do things with large PDF documents. So if you have scanner and the Reader, then in the Reader, you can now load a PDF document that's a scanned PDF document. Then it recognizes that. It'll prompt you to, do you want to OCR this? Then it goes ahead and OCR the entire document.
Yes, and you can bring in PDFs or whatever from Dropbox or from Google, wherever you want to as well. It's very easy to kind of to move them in, if you will.
Right. And the Reader is the right place for that, right? It's you know, if you have a large document, like it's the right place to read longer form content.
Now, you were telling me before we started this recording that another place that you might be able to do this at some point soon is on the Mac.
Right. Well, the Mac doesn't have a camera, but surely the Mac can do OCR. The OCR could run on the Mac.
Right. So you're going to bring Reader to Mac? Is that what you're thinking? Or
well, that's the rumors are, I guess, there are strong that in a couple of weeks in WWDC 2019, Apple is going to announce this technology that Apple has been hinting for a while. It's codenamed Marsupon, and it would allow developers with some tweaking to allow iOS, iPad, apps to run on the Mac. So I'm really excited about that because I mean, as you can guess, not a week goes by when someone doesn't email us and ask if there is a Mac version. I guess I had some inkling that this is coming, so which is why I resisted the temptation to do the port myself.
Because this will be a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's really excited. Nobody knows any details until a couple of weeks from now. I'm really excited to looking forward to finding out more about it. And then, of course, Writer. You know, I in some ways, you know, the Mac is the natural home for Writer. Most people actually create content on laptops and PCs, not on iPhones and iPads. So I would like to bring both the Reader and the Writer to the Mac.
Is that still your primary focus, iOS and Mac? I know you've had this love-hate relationship with Android over the years, and then, of course, well, you still have the Reader is there now, and it seems to be getting some updates here and there.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that Android is a trickier platform to develop on, in both technically and from a business standpoint. But I'm committed to having the Reader run on Android, even though I have a There is a developer who at VoiceStream who's part-time, and he works on the Android Reader app. I mean, the reality is that there's just not a lot of revenue coming in from Play Store. And so to the extent that it's, you know, to the extent that I could, you know, I'm okay with sort of even breaking even on that. To the extent that I could, I would like to continue to support the Android version of Reader.
Which is really interesting because you've done a really good job of marketing, you know, it's not just a blindness product. Obviously, you hit a lot of other learning disabilities, just other people who, for whatever reason, want the reader or scanner. You know, you seem to transcend that more than most other developers have, especially on the iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, I try to capture, I try to sort of occupy the space where a product is useful for multiple groups of users. You mentioned people who are visually impaired. There's students with dyslexia, with learning differences. That's another. And also others who are interested in, who want to use this kind of products for productivity gains, you know, so you can listen to stuff when you're driving or listen to stuff when you're in the gym. And I think it's really important to be able to serve the last crowd, because that crowd is what allows the pricing of the products to be low. You know, if I completely, entirely, 100% focus on the accessibility community, the volumes are just not there.
Yep. It's really awesome to see what you've done. And it's a great example of an app that works really well for us and serves many different markets. And you've done well with it for the past several years. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
So anything else? So the Mac app or the Mac stuff, anything else that we should be teasing for the future? Or is you and one other developer? Is that how big is the company now?
Oh, we're just three. I still do all the development on iOS, and we have an Android developer, and then we have someone who does customer support. We don't have plans to grow aggressively, and this is by design. So many companies try to grow fast, and you grow fast by giving your product away for free, right, and hoping to monetize later.
Yeah,
that's
doesn't work very often. Yep.
No, but that means you either succeed, the probabilities are small, or you crash and burn, and you move on, right? And to me, that doesn't serve anyone. You know, the users I know spend $10, $15 on a VoiceStream app, but that's not nearly as valuable as the time you spend learning it and putting your content through, right, and come to rely on it. And if VoiceStream, you know, folds, then you kind of wasted all that time. So I think sustainability is really important. So then the way we want to stay sustainable is we keep our costs low, right?
Yep.
Right. Just me still do everything, you know, and we don't spend money on marketing. We don't spend money on trade shows. We, you know, we don't do advertising, right? We keep our costs really low. And then we charge a reasonable price for our products. And by doing this, we remain viable and we remain sustainable. We want to be around 20 years from now.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Of course, VoiceStream Scanner is the latest. Go get it on the iTunes App Store right now, along with Reader and Writer, if you don't have that already. Any other contact information you want to give? People have questions, feedback, suggestions.
I'd love to hear back from anybody. If you have a problem or you just want to say hi, you know, you can email me. My email address is winston@voicestream.com. If you have so many technical issues, you can email support@voicestream.com. We try to answer every email.
And spell Winston?
Winston.
And then you do have a Twitter as well, right?
Right. Our Twitter, VoiceStream app. We also have a Facebook page. So we're out there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Winch, for coming back on.
Well, thanks for having me again.
Blind Bargains needs you. If you wish to submit a product demo, app review, tip, or something else cool, email feedback@blindbargains.com.
We mentioned game shows a little bit this week, and I thought, why not go ahead and play one, or at least make myself look embarrassed by playing one. You know, it's Mickey Mouse's 90th birthday, and Disney Interactive has done something in honor of that. So, hey Google, play Mickey's Game Show.
Okay, let's get Mickey's Game Show. Hiya, pal. Mickey Mouse here, and welcome back to my game show. Minnie, Donald, Daisy, Goofy, and Pluto are all here with me, and we can't wait to spend some time with you. I hope you're ready to play along and answer some trivia questions. What do you say? Want to play a game with me and my pals?
Yes.
Hot dog, this is going to be great. First, how many players will be playing today? One, two, three, or four?
One.
One player. You got it. Now, part of the game is that you get to choose one of my friends to be your teammate, which means that one time during the game, if you aren't sure of an answer, you can ask your teammate for help. So, once I'm finished asking you a question, just say, help, and your teammate will tell you what they think the answer is. All right. Who would you like to be your teammate for the game? Minnie, Goofy, Daisy, or Donald?
Minnie?
Me? Oh, that's so sweet. We'll be a wonderful team.
Great. Now I can explain the rules. You'll get 1 point for each trivia question that you answer correctly. So try to get as many points as you can. There are two modes to choose from, Classic and Expert. If you pick Classic, I'll ask you the questions and then give you some possible answers to choose from. All right, which mode would you like, Classic or Expert?
Classic.
Classic? You've got it. Now, each game has 5 questions.
Oh,
and remember, you get 1 chance to ask your teammate for help. Here's your first question. I've got 2 nephews. One's named Morty. What's my other nephew's name?
What?
Marty, Ferdy, or Mikey?
Marty?
Sorry, it's Ferdy.
Oh, Morty and Ferdy are so sweet. Just like Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Sweet? But nothing but trouble.
I don't know, Donald. I think they tend to take after you.
They do? Well, I guess they are all bad.
Here's your next question. One day, all my friends and I had a skating party on the pond. I tried showing off my ice skating skills to Minnie by jumping over a row of what? Bicycles, snowballs, or barrels?
Barrels.
Wow, that's amazing. It was a row of barrels. I almost made it too. If it hadn't been for that last barrel, I'd have been golden.
Instead, you were almost frozen. That last barrel was quite the icebreaker.
Here's your next question. Donald has an extremely rich uncle. What's his name? Delmer, Scrooge, or Mortimer?
Scrooge. There actually is an Uncle Mortimer in another Disney cartoon.
Uncle Scrooge.
Never borrow even a nickel from Uncle Scrooge. He'll bug you about it every day until you pay it back.
Well, that crust.
Gorge, does that mean you have to pretend to be really interested in him when you give it back?
You gotta be kidding me.
Here's your nickel back, Uncle Scrooge. And, oh, is that a new jacket you're wearing? It sure is snazzy.
Here's your next question. Which of our friends often wears a lab coat, especially when he's in his lab? Scrooge McDuck, Ludwig von Drake, or Horace Horsecollar?
Von Drake?
You got it! It's the professor, Ludwig von Drake.
Of course, so many of his inventions and experiments.
That sounds like Tress Harnell. It really does.
He should probably wear a helmet, too.
Oh, Daisy, you're right!
That one to hard way.
This is your final question. When Goofy, Donald, and I were ghost exterminators, what was the name of our business? Elias, Ajax, or Harper?
Ajax.
Wow, you've done it!
That's like Acme
it was
for
Ajax Ghost
Warner
Exterminators.
Brothers.
Gosh.
I sure took a lot of great naps working that job.
Well, that's our game. Let's see how many questions you answered correctly. You got 4 correct answers. Well, that's our game. Thanks for playing with us, pal. We had a blast, and we hope you did too. Be sure to come back, and we'll see ya
real soon.
So long.
Goodbye.
Remember, we love you.
Well, that's Mickey's Game Show, and a lot of those are based off of old cartoons, Disney cartoons, classics even. So you have to be familiar with your Disney history to be able to do that. But if you are, or if you have watched a lot of those with your own children, that probably will be a thing that you can do quite easily. And also, just so you know, there are a lot of things like this for Disney fans. There are, of course, the Disney Cars has their own. So there's Cars Adventure. Wreck-It Ralph has his own. They're always doing things like this right before a major Mickey or animation release. So there'll probably be something with Aladdin and some others out there as well. You just have to ask your Google Assistant what is available. Odd enough, while I'm thinking about it, the Ghost Exterminators, I actually had when I was really young, a Viewmaster cartridge that you would slide in, not the old Viewmaster, which is the paper reels where you would actually rotate pictures into place and look through the eye holes at light, and you could actually see the pictures that were on the Viewmaster. That's a classic Viewmaster, but they actually did one which was a movie. You actually slid in a giant cartridge and you rotated it with a crank, and I had the Ghost Exterminators. That's kind of how I remember that one. So there's that available. Also, I got it from my niece for Christmas, and I hear it's a really, really good gift to have. Google Home will do storybooks, and what you can do is, if you already have a Google Home, you can get a storybook that's been made by Disney and Gold Key, and you can say that it's time for story time, read it with your children, and it will play appropriate sound effects and music to go along with those actual stories. So there's one for Moana, there's one for, I believe there's one for a couple of the space ones like Mickey's Space Race and others. I'll put a link in the show notes. And just because I was making sure that I followed through on the theme here, there's an OtterBox case that you can actually buy that has the look of Mickey's classic ears. So the two ears sitting above the roundish head. And I got a Google Home in chalk. So the Google Home Mini in chalk, placed it inside the Mickey OtterBox case, so that way it looked a little bit more like Mickey's face, and my niece loves it. She tells it to play music and all sorts of things. So I'll put a link of that in the show notes as well. It's an OtterBox case for Mickey Mouse and his birthday. I mean, he turned 90, so we had to play with him and enjoy his birthday together.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Okay, so last week in Sound Off, somehow we got into talking about movies and things like that. Was that in Sound Off? It was right around...
We did, yeah. Because we had an email asking us, Kathy Blackburn, about being able to know when there are audio-described movies available.
So we have a tweet from at A Prism Uncovered. Jay, pretty sure the second film you mentioned in the show last week, apparently I might have misnamed it. Let's go back to last week.
Yeah, you know, let's check the tape, shall we?
Yeah, not as big of movies, but if you wanted to see Palms or Ugly Balls, those are I'm with ActiView. No, and no. Those are current first run movies, at least, I believe.
At the time I'm recording.
Yeah. Dolls.
Yes.
I totally
missed that when we were recording and caught it on the review of the show, and even Patrick took a couple of times before he heard it. So yeah, that's better than the email where it said Joe's urinal trough. Thanks, I appreciate that too. We're It took us 182 wow. episodes to slide into the gutter, but baby, did oh, we ever my. Learn how to get on that slide and roll on down. This is what happens when there is no news. This happens. This is what happens. Content just oh,
that was man. Even legitimate. Well, I just I heard it wrong.
Enough. I know.
Thank yeah. you, Eloquence. Yeah. You know, that's what I get for using a nice.
Old... That's not the first time that's ever happened where you meet somebody and your no. screen reader has pronounced their name incorrectly for quite no. some time.
No. Oh gosh. Yeah. Right.
Never happened. And then you can't get it out of your head because every time you see them, you want to say, hey, mispronounced name.
yeah. The one that we going happens. Back to my childhood, it was like, it was always Larry Scutkin or.
yes. Oh, yes.
yes. Or Scutkin.
Steen. That's, I got Scutkin. Steen more yeah. than Stein. Stein. I always yeah. got Steen. Yeah. Especially in the mm-hmm. early speech synthesis was Steen more than Stein. So yeah, that happens.
Well, there you go.
Lydia writes in about Legos and talks about how she got hooked on them as a kid. Several people actually have been talking to us about Legos and some of their favorite sets.
I want samples of the Braille Legos.
I would say so. There was a really cool Tron light cycle last year, as well as 2 years ago, they had a Batman 66 Batcave set, which was unreally expensive. I mean, like unreal. Those Lego sets, those collectors that are way into Lego, that stuff can get really pricey, especially if it's one of the licensed properties. It is not cool. So that gives you an idea of some of the stuff that's been going on. Do you have any more from us? Oh, someone wrote in and asked us to talk about, we asked, should we talk about anything on the show, interviewing people, and somebody wrote in about, can we talk more about Sling and DirecTV? Yeah, we'd like to. The problem is that they're in the moment apps. So when we talk about them, they're as good as Peggy the moment Carpenter that we talk about them because
was who did that.
Yeah, is that who did it? Okay.
Yeah, cool. And so the last time I've looked at either one of them, they weren't terribly accessible.
Yeah, I know people are doing it.
So I guess this would be great. So we've covered YouTube TV a bit, and obviously it's improving. If you are using another one of the cord cutting TV apps, so there's Sling, there's Fugo, there's DirecTV Now, et cetera. If you're using any of them successfully, let us email us feedback@blindbargains.com. Let us know what platform you're on or what it's working with, or if it's not working, why are you paying for it?
Some of you are using it with Fire TV sticks and they're working fairly well because the Fire TV OS kind of sort of.
And there might be some situations where Roku specific platform plus specific app works. You know, YouTube TV, I think, is one of the few that actually has made somewhat of an effort to work on a variety of platforms. But, you know, prove me wrong. I hope still there are others.
Voicing on things like Apple TV. Yeah. I mean, the Apple TV app for Hulu is far better than the one that's on Amazon Fire. So it really comes down to whether you're using that, or in the case of my Vizio television, a lot of those built-in apps work fairly well and they're using their own UI, kind of an overlay. And that leads me into my other thing, which is AirPlay 2. AirPlay 2 is crazy awesome. I've been doing the beta for about a month and a half now.
Pretty much Chromecast, isn't it? Basically, maybe a little better.
Well, yes and no. So the way that it's currently working on my Vizio is that it does create another input channel. So, you know, you have video 1, video 2, video 3. Well, AirPlay is its own video channel.
Oh.
And you can switch over to it. And you can do that if you're playing on your iPhone with something that supports AirPlay. And then you can just tap on that and it will search. It actually uses the Apple Home ecosystem. So it actually turns the TV into a home compatible device. And you can actually give it some features within the Apple Home app. And once when you've done that, AirPlay talks to Home and Home talks to the television, and it's pretty seamless. But what I found is that it's not supporting things like 4K. So if I have a movie like Keanu or something like that in 4K, it's not pushing it over to the television in 4K. I think they still want you to go get an Apple 4K, an Apple TV 4K, if you want to be able to run the 4K resolution. But for throwing things up there immediately, like if you don't live in the Chromecast ecosystem, or you don't want to throw things onto Chromecast, or you just don't want to use Google, you like using Apple more, you can do that. You can minimize things so you're not losing your an iDevice to broadcasting like in the old days of AirPlay. It works pretty well. I've been very, very happy with it. And it may be the Apple TV killer in my mind, because the way that Apple is decoupling everything from the hardware in lots of ways, whether it be audio or in this case, the television streaming app, then yeah, this might be the way to go. So a lot of televisions are going to be supporting AirPlay 2 in 2019. Vizio, Sony, LG, most of your majors, including Samsung, they might do it a little differently depending on how their OS is set up. But if you're considering a new television in 2019, you want to do the research and make sure that it has AirPlay 2 support.
And you can use your AirPlay 2 and your Vizio and all that stuff when it, whenever it comes to a video to watch, the famous movie Ugly Balls. Anyways, fast forward.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. But make sure you're laying on the double bed when that's happening in Switzerland. Yep, absolutely. Five new Oreos, my friend. Five new flavors of Oreo.
And you've tried them already?
New, as you pointed out. No, I have not. I have tried one or two of these. So you've tried what? The carrot cake is what you said you've tried? Carrot cake Oreos? I've tried the dark chocolate. I'm not impressed. It's okay. What ends up happening with a lot of these, and I can say this after podcasting for years about them, is that it sometimes tastes like cardboard cookie with cake frosting in the middle. And sometimes it can just wow you out of the park, but it's like Taco Bell. It's like variations of a theme. How many things can they merge into things without them tasting like the other things they've tried before? Yeah. So
what are the
latte thins? They've done latte.
I said, what are the five? Right. So these are the five new ones.
Yeah. Latte thin ones. Mm-hmm. S'mores are coming back. Mm-hmm. S'mores have been here before.
So some of the new ones are not new. One. They're just,
They're just variations of a theme. And,
the double most stuffed
Oreo.
Triple stuffed, quadruple stuffed.
Double, triple stuffed. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Three times the normal, cream.
I had that before. That's too much stuff.
Yep.
You do not need that much.
Agreed.
Stuff.
You start messing with the cookie to Oreo ratio, Oreo cream ratio. That just throws it off. Now I like peanut butter pie last year. That was kind of good.
So
yeah, peanut butter pie was good.
Yum.
Easter egg Oreos are probably still out there. They were sort of oval shaped.
Candy corn Oreos?
Oh, those were good. Those were years ago.
Wait, that existed?
Yeah, those were
I was just making stuff up.
Target exclusive. No, they were Target exclusives.
No.
So sweet and tangy. Sweet and tangy Oreos are said to be like sweet tarts between two cookies.
Yeah, I'll have the sweet tarts and the cookies separately. Yeah.
So, you know, separately.
There's...
Ew, now I just imagine that between two Nutter Butters, and that did not go well.
There's a such thing as too much of a good thing. You know, kind of the same thing with that little song, Baby Shark, which we've featured before. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I remember Baby Shark.
Yes, I'm going to try to forget it. Is this in Washington State? Richland. Apparently, they're now using Baby Shark. The fire department is using Baby Shark to teach CPR. I don't know if we
have something good came of it. That's awesome. I'm thrilled. Baby Shark has been used for evil far too long.
For every three syllable thing, you know, we were singing it at the AT Guys booth and at the Colorado State Convention, you know, of course, you know, because it's AT Guys, three syllables. Anything that's like that, it fits in the song, you know. I mean, I know you're so sorry you missed that one, Joe. You weren't there.
I'm surprised you didn't record it. It would have been perfect. I'm
glad we didn't record it.
You know, people, you actually could make Jay very happy by recreating this. When you come to Las Vegas and come by the AT Guys booth, you could actually mention Baby Shark to Jay when you come. You know, just go ahead and get a chorus, serenade him. Wait until I'm recording interviews in the hall. I'd really like to
be there. Yes, you know, every time you see Joe doing an interview, if you could interview bomb the interview and start singing Baby Shark. I dare you. Ask for it.
Please don't do that.
I wanted to say thank you. A few people said hi to us last week, and I'm saying hi to you now, Joe, over at Visions in Ann Arbor. We had a huge crowd of people that came through the booth. It was wall-to-wall all day, so that was always a fun conference to do. They're doing that every year now in Ann Arbor. So thank you to everyone who came by and said hi and either bought stuff or didn't buy stuff. That's okay. But at least you said hi. We really appreciate talking to many of you. And then, yeah, Vegas is our next time to see you. I got a booth now. I finally paid for the booth.
you got your booth? Okay.
Got
our hotel reservations. And yes. Do you know that it's actually cheaper to go to the Tournament of Champions in the Excalibur than it is to go over and see the Blue Man Group?
It's cheaper to not do either.
Oh,
Come on,
you're Vegas.
I recommend Slotzilla. If you have not done Slotzilla, go downtown Vegas and do Slotzilla.
That huge one? Was it like a slide or something through the middle of it? It's a zip line.
You're on your stomach. Yeah. It's a four-block thing. It is really cool. Bring a folding cane because you have like a thing below you to put stuff, but it will not hold a straight cane or a dog, I'm assuming. That would be pretty bad.
He's coming after me. Wait, I gotta wait for my guide. He's coming down. Here he comes.
I know which way to go. Oh, it's terrible. That's terrible.
Oh my goodness.
But yes, we will be there.
Well, there's an indoor skydiving thing, and I thought the same joke, so it's okay. That's a classic blind joke.
Yes, I need to get a plane ticket though. I guess that's the next step. But well, you know,
yeah, that would be kind of helpful unless you're gonna take a long Uber or a train. Oh my gosh, what would a train be from Michigan?
Train to, Amtrak doesn't even go to Vegas. I don't think you take a bus. No.
Like a freight car.
Yeah, right. It's right in the back of a freight. So we have we have one more show of mystery. I have a possible interview lined up, but I don't know if it's for sure yet, so I don't want to say it. And then Apple's the one after that. So
yeah,
right. Am I reading the schedule right? Is that when that Apple thing is?
Yeah, that's the week of July 4th ish. So
you mean June 4th ish?
Yeah.
One of those four.
We were talking convention, and I flash forwarded. Oh, okay. No,
we're not ready for July. So, not ready for July yet. June.
I have been known to advance the calendar on you on this part of the show, but that's okay. I did not mean to.
That's like, okay. That's Are you normal. Saying all of our shows through July 4th have been recorded already? Awesome.
How I wish. There are many more things to get us through until we get to that point. And then, hey, we got the AT showcase that happens before we actually go off for those conventions. So I was thinking of that because I was leading into this because that would probably happen the week of July 4th. We would release because conventions are kind of
that would come out
July
6th or so.
The rest of time. Yeah. And then, yeah. Then the wrap-up show will be somewhere around July 31st September. Or August.
Yeah. The wrap-up show, yeah.
Hey, the way that we've been outputting convention coverage, don't put it past us.
Yeah, you never know when that's going to happen. But that is then. This is now. We do appreciate you listening. You can email us, feedback@blindbargains.com. You can tweet us @blindbargains. And then, of course, go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever, and be sure to rate and like.
Spotify.
And Spotify. Yes, please. Be our second, please, our second listener on Spotify. I worked hard to get us on Spotify.
Be our second listener.
I worked really hard to get us on Spotify.
Take the trial. Come on. And it doesn't work if we go and do it. It has to be other people. It can't be Shelly. It can't be Ricky. Can't be Chansey. It's got to be other people.
Yeah.
You can so go none of it. Our guest hosts. None of that. No, it doesn't work. You can follow me over at Ranger Station, all one word, where I'm one of the few geeks on the planet not tweeting about Game of Thrones. And actually been really busy between... There was a graphic audio sale on Marvel Comics, and I've been reading a bunch of audio comics that I bought, and then Mortal Kombat 11 still, although I've got a couple more that I got to play with. And I'm seriously moving on and thinking about doing this Xbox information thing for blind parents. And so I'm kind of working on that in the background, just chipping away at it. You can also, don't forget, you can also... go on to blindbargains.com and keep up to date with what we've got going on with the contest. That's right. Our contest that we announced earlier with our friends over at Ira.
That's right. Again, we are sponsored by Ira this week, and you can get all information about the contest, the Game of Words, AIRA.io/BBQ. And there you go. Sign up. And good luck. I can't win. Absolutely. You can't win, Joe. Sorry. Patrick can't win.
No. But Winston could. Yeah, Winston could possibly
win. Yeah, I guess so. He could totally win. Sure. Thanks, Winston, for coming on the show. Talking about Voice Dream Scanner. If you don't have that yet, go to iTunes and get that. Just a few bucks. Come on. Definitely. Totally really, it is worth it. I went through my entire stack of mail in about 5 minutes this afternoon. And then, you know. Really,
where you can get frustrated with seeing AI at times, especially if you have like shaky hands or something
and,
like that.
Know, and I like the seeing AI is still great for short text and for other things, you know, Envision AI is still great for a lot of those type of things. You know, the full page on this is really good. That's where this excels in, you know, saving to PDF and that type of stuff. So, thanks again, Winston, for coming on. And just to put you on the spot, Joe, there's a Tech It Out coming up, isn't it? Do you know the topic? I just saw the email.
I believe that it is about, as I try to plumb the depths of my... small brain here. I believe it's about It's about GPS. It's about GPS. Cool. And if you don't catch Ricky over at Tech It Out over at Hadley during the live session, you can always catch
it on the 28th,
right? Podcast feed. Yes, it is on the 28th. And great time, actually. So it's usually Tuesday, the last Tuesday of the month at around 9 p.m. EST. And that's where she and a couple hundred people hang out and talk about things of various tech importance. And again, this one is GPS. I had to think about it for a second because I've been through a couple of these and I forgot which one she's on because she's always researching the next one as she's about to perform the one that's for this month. So it's kind of like, again, like Microsoft. I forget which build I'm in.
What's going on? Right as we're closing the show, I'm getting the email. Hymns, Polaris, firmware update, blah, blah. We'll have something. We're getting topics for next week. So stay on the website, blindbargains.com. That's how you stay
up. If you do that update, let us know how it goes and send it. And
we'll have this up on the website. This is why you stay. Follow us on Twitter and go to Blind Bargains.
This is why Patrick hates us so much sometimes. Oh, wait. Can we get this in? Can we get?
No.
Thank you, Patrick, for making it sound better than we actually are.
Yes, so much. We'll even try to schedule this thing once in a while, just to let you know.
That would help.
Yeah, help all of us. So.
You'd think after 180 yeah. something episodes, we'd be professional about this.
How does the calendar work? Yeah, we're not good on that. But that's going to do it, folks.
Really? I like that. Ooh, this notification on my wrist means something. Wow. Technology is beautiful, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.
Hey, Gus. Hey. I'm still here. JJ? Joe? Anyone? Could you, get me out of here?